It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. When you separate plastic and paper and haul it to the curb in that blue bin, where does it all go? Turns out the answer might well be China. Over half the world's recyclables get sent to China. But now China says it doesn't want to be the world's garbage heap anymore. And it's coming up with new, tougher standards for what recycling it's willing to accept. I asked Kate O'Neill to explain all this. She's associate professor in the Department of Environmental Science, Policy, and Management at UC Berkeley. First off, after the recycling is in the blue bin, what actually happens to it?
50% of the plastic that we throw away as consumers will, in fact, wind up on a boat to China. At least it has up until now.
Well, China's been chugging along in this industry, Kate O'Neill, but now they want to change the way they're doing things. The new policy is called National Sword. What exactly is China doing here?
China is, as of March 1st, enacting very strict restrictions on certain kinds of scrap. There's 24 altogether, and these tend to be the lower quality scrap materials that they no longer want to take in. What they've done, in effect, is put contamination limits on these plastics that are almost impossible to reach. Contamination takes a couple of forms. One is that a lot of the plastic that we throw into recycling is still dirty, and that makes it much harder to recycle. Another issue is, in fact, mixed bales of plastic, and that mixing of plastics is very problematic in terms of separating what's recyclable compared with what's practically waste.
Are Americans going to be asked to rinse thoroughly all of their plastics before sending them off or to separate them better, or does this mean that America will send its plastics elsewhere?
The answer is both. In terms of our everyday recycling, there's some evidence that municipalities who coordinate these policies are starting to place stricter limits on what consumers can put in their recycling bins. But the other part of this question is that already plastic scrap is being diverted to other markets in Southeast Asia. Malaysia, Vietnam are suddenly seeing a boom in scrap imports. That is a problem because we're not entirely sure what happens to that plastic. In China, we didn't really know all of it either, but we know that there was and is a huge manufacturing demand for those plastics. In these cases, we're really not sure. But I think one of the big concerns that we have is that even if the plastic is recycled, we need to be concerned under what conditions. And there's some evidence that in China, a lot of it is recycled in informal scrapyards, often with great danger to the health of the population who dismantle it, which are often children, and to local environments. There's a sense that the Chinese government is responding to some of these reports, and that was one of the triggers for them really to start being concerned about their reputation as the world's garbage dump.
Well, Kate, the broadest question, it seems to me, is whether the amount of plastics we produce all over the world, but certainly in a consumer economy like the United States, is ultimately sustainable. You can envision a world where we recycle 90% of the plastic we produce and a balance is struck. But you're describing a world where we're nowhere even close to that, not only because of technical capacity, but just political will.
That's true. And when I talk about recycling rates, our actual recycling rate in the United States for plastic is 9%. It's tiny.
Nine.
And this all adds up to a lot of problems that are really coming to the fore now. The other big plastic issue is plastics in the oceans, as well as the debris that is washing up on islands and beaches around the world. That is just a huge issue for fish and for birds and other wildlife in the oceans.
Kate O'Neill, stick with us. We've got some more questions for you right from our audience.
Just curious to know if it saves real energy or if it takes more energy to create a new object using recycled goods. This is Tyler in Boston.
Professor Kate O'Neill, it's a great question. Is recycling actually energy efficient? And I would add another question to that. Does it pollute?
There's actually some debate about the energy savings from recycling. Overall, though, once you look at the entire life cycle of a product, the fact that we're avoiding creating new plastics At other levels, we're avoiding mining minerals from extracting minerals from the earth. We're also avoiding the use of conflict minerals and metals. There's more of a question about incineration. And, you know, I'm going to say something that a lot of people may or may not agree with. This is somewhat contentious, but there are ways in which we can efficiently incinerate wastes for energy, and there are many ways in which we don't. In the United States, it's been very problematic to establish a quality incineration program. But on the other hand, we look to Sweden, and Sweden now has a negative waste production, so to speak.
Sweden leading the way there. Well, Kate, part of China's new, more rigorous standards say that, for instance, a greasy pizza box might not be accepted anymore. And here's one listener from Massachusetts who's wondering then how we should guarantee that the items that we're putting into our blue bins actually get recycled.
This is Terry from Needham, Massachusetts. I am wondering if I can recycle juice and milk cartons. And if so, do I have to flatten them, rinse them? There's a lot of debate in our house about all sorts of recycling questions.
The general principle is clean your recycling before it goes in. It really depends on what your local municipality's policies are. For example, are they single stream in which you throw everything into the same bin and then it gets taken away and ideally sorted? But again, that may or may not happen. So in general, I urge people to really go talk and find out what's happening in their towns or cities and educate themselves that way.
Well, Kate, this next caller has a question that I think a lot of us worry about. I know I do.
This is Peter Dumont calling from Star Alliance in Berkeley, California. Berkeley is generally way ahead of the game on these things, but there's one thing that bugs me a lot. There's no convenient way to recycle batteries that we use all the time for computers and so many other things. Where is the sense in this? What are other cities doing?
Yes, batteries are a serious issue. They are quite toxic and one of the main contaminants of landfills, which is where most of them wind up. There are very few states, as far as I know, that mandate battery recycling. California is one of them, however. The main thing to look out for is when your municipality advertises a hazardous waste collection date for households where you can bring the paint, the batteries, The cleaning materials, all those things that tend to be hiding out in your basement, that's quite important to do.
And Kate, is that the same answer for how to recycle an old laptop computer? I've had this trouble.
Again, there's research required to find a venue that won't export e-waste. There's a lot of different ways in which municipalities and states here deal with electronic waste. One of the big things we need to confront is that we have all of the scrap from laptops and batteries all the way to plastic that is hard to recycle, often dangerous to recycle, but we don't necessarily have the markets in the parts of the world that can effectively deal with this safely to keep them in country. So the question is, well, if we do need to export them, how do we export them in ways that make sense? And the problem becomes, how do you ensure that they're dismantled or recycled in the recipient country in a way that's safe for the local community, for the workers, and for the environment? And that step is something that a lot of different people are trying to figure out how to make.
The world of recycling is changing. China is helping to change it rapidly. And Americans are wondering where their recycling goes. Kate O'Neill, associate professor at University of California, Berkeley, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.